When you're just in a personal relationship with the person is money, like I'm a firm believer that the art is gonna be better, you know? Like it's like when there's just like love and shit, like, and it's like we was just making fucking music and it was just like, oh, let's make some music. That's it. Like, let's make music is the fucking like is just the this like is like the target, and it just everything else will figure itself out. And we was just on the same page, and he was just sending me mad shit. He was just sending me mad shit. Like, he sent me like he was sending me like four beats in a fucking day, like via iMessage. And I was like, yo, you're going in. And he's like, when I lock in, I lock in. I was like, this dude is the shit. I fuck with this guy heavy. Shout out to him, bro.
Details just ahead.
Do you love credible content, but hate
how long you have to wait?
And who wants
super thick and frothy dumpster juice with rat corpses in it?
There's a better way.
Fly Fidelity.
Fly Fidelity.
Fly Fidelity.
Fly Fidelity.
Fly.
Fly. Fly Fidelity.
Fidelity. Fly Fidelity Podcast.
Fly Fidelity, baby. Fidelity, baby. Fidelity.
With your host, Luke Bailey.
Welcome to the program. This week, we're joined by Power Recordings powerhouse, Gabe Hernandez. Join us as we talk about his unique journey, working with Wino Willie for his latest EP, and an upcoming group project with Lewis Jack. All of this, and so much more, on this episode.
First and foremost, no hitting the goalpost. We aim for the net, we came for respect also. We taking them threats real personally, they all close. The snake in the breast, the angel of death, crossroads. We making them bets and they risky, the stakes high. Even though I make my bed in the chimney, I stay fly. I'm like the past, soon as you lose me, I race by. Keys in my hand, poke out my fist by my wayside. I dare a stranger to try me, it's problematic. For the way adrenaline hit my body, dog, I'm an addict. Let's get it established, I gotta have it, I'll let it have it. I could never lose it, I'm torn, torn. My heart is callous from the way that the pain is...
I wanted to go back and talk about your upbringing, and specifically your dad's work as an intersection for you experiencing culture and identity. What kind of impact did your dad being a diplomat have on your relationship with politics and the way that you viewed the world when you were growing up? And at which point did you start to recognize this facilitating role that hip-hop had on helping build connections between cultures, countries, and communities?
I peep game early. It definitely translated early, like around 10, 11, I was, you know, interested in like Chomsky, like anarchy, anarchism, I guess through Sex Pistols and punk, and just kind of like hearing from there anyways, like communism and just the way shit just was set up. So yeah, I was just privy to geopolitics and just interested in it, the way power works, hierarchies work, and the way the planets run kind of thing. And then when I got into hip hop, I definitely had people like the journalistic qualities in the like the essence of the music, and yeah, that resonated too. Yeah,
I know that for you, music was something that became a home real quick, wasn't it? Real early. Can you speak to, you know, that rites of passage that music gave you in those transitional years as a kid growing up? How did that music help you to feel attached to your past growing up, and how did it motivate your future?
Yeah, I tapped in. I started playing guitar at 11, and I ultimately found my purpose in life. You know, I was like, yep, this is it. It's almost like I knew it before even playing, because when I would listen to music, it was like, man, like deep spiritual shit. You know what I'm saying? It's psychedelic almost. And when I think back about it now is how it felt. You know, it was like so powerful. I would just like chill in my room, lights off, listen to music and be like, pretend like I was these people. Anyways, so in that sense, it connected me to that, like being just a fan and now turning into a creator. And yeah, as far as the future, it was like a clear, you know, symbol of like my emancipation from the like capitalist, you can't escape that, but just from the like, from like wage slavery and shit, because I peeped that too. I was like, oh, okay, this is how shit works. I don't want to do that at all. Like, I'm going to play guitar. That's what I'm going to do. So past and future, yeah.
Tell me about that time as a growing period for you. Were you playing any other instruments at that time?
I was just playing guitar, and I was playing that shit fucking all the time. That's all I was fucking doing, you know? Like, I would bring it to school, play it, yeah. That's all I was playing then. Yeah, I only played guitar for a while. I was so focused. I wasn't rapping yet. So before rapping, I was trying to be the greatest guitar player on the planet. That's what I wanted to be. So I was like, yeah, that was my thing. I was like, you know, I want to be fucking the illest guitar player of all time. You know what I'm saying? And then like that changed with time. Like, you know, I started emceeing and shit. I still play guitar, and I'm, you know, I'm gonna tap back in later with that, in terms of releasing music or whatever. But yeah, just guitar. Yeah.
So, what would have been the first time that you experienced a rapper speaking to you, and what did that moment feel like as somebody who, you know, up until that point had learned to speak English through rock influences like Nirvana and Hendrix?
Yeah, Wheezy. When Emilie came out. I was like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, this is the dopest shit I've ever heard in my life. And I was like, I want to fucking be this guy straight up. It was Wheezy, man. Wheezy was like, yeah. Like, he was just like, yeah, he really made me want to rap. He really made me want to rap. There were like, there was people in my family that rapped. I'm trying to think of this timeline. Yeah, okay. Anyways, I'll say Wheezy because it's really a clear. I'll remember it vividly. It was Emilie, and I put the homies on, and they were like, "What the fuck is this?" Then I got into Doom and Wu-Tang. And like, I just fucking, after Wheezy, I started doing the knowledge type shit.
Got you. And we're talking about peak Wheezy. We're talking about the mixtapes, of course, that would follow after that joint.
Yeah. On top of the world, man. He was like the coolest human on the fucking planet.
Absolutely smashing it. Did you have any preference as a fan over French rap rather than English rap back then?
I had a phase where I was knocking French rap heavy, but it was always like balanced. But I was always more like, you know, I always ultimately listen to more U.S. shit, but I definitely had a heavy phase with like I Am. They're like a, you know, very popular French group. Shit like that. You know, I just like in the same way I did a deep dive into politics to just know shit. Obviously, when I got into hip hop, I was like, there's this entire universe. So I was just listening to so much fucking music. You know what it is. You know what it is, just yeah, being a hip hop head. You're just like, there's so much music to listen to. So I was just listening to so much shit all the time.
You're absorbing everything. You're like a sponge, right?
Exactly. And I was like, oh yeah. And also at that point, I decided I want to be the best rapper on the planet. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay, I gotta listen to all these rappers now. Kind of like, this is Villain in Dragon Ball Z. Cell and like, yeah, Cell, and even I guess Boo does this too, where Cell would just like, he would just fuck people up and then like absorb their powers and get stronger. And I'm not saying that I was trying to fuck people up, but like he would just like level up through like, he would just like transform through knowledge and shit, and like we all do. But I always thought that was ill, and I can't, that's kind of like the sponge Cell thing. Like I was like, yeah. But I had a lot of homework to do, you know? So, yeah.
I love that. So you're a student and you're trying to become a master. Can you remember your first time in a studio?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Yeah, this was in high school. I don't remember what year. I guess technically I'd been in a studio. No, okay, fuck it. That was the first time officially, like, where someone paid for a session. We was in Harlem. Oh, my niggas from Clubhouse. Yo, these cats from Harlem, they was mad cool, and we were gonna do some music and shit, and I hopped in, and I had this verse to this like MF Grimm beat, and we had done a remix to what song that Kanye, everybody that drug dealer just to get by, that beat. We had done like a remix to that, and then I had some shit on this MF Grimm shit, and it was dope as fuck. I remember the MF the engineer was like, "Yo, this beat is whack." The MF Grimm shit, I was like, "What?" Because it wasn't like it was on some underground shit, and he wasn't on that, and it was just funny. Anyways, but yeah, that was my first official session. Yeah.
Love that. You talked about traveling a couple of minutes ago, being as versed as you are, having traveled as many places across the world, living in as many places as you have. When you think about, what you've learned from making your own reality traveling, how does that fit into the way you've composed the world you perceive as an artist at this point, in terms of you turning critical experiences into transformation?
Traveling kind of breaks the barriers of whatever, especially traveling somewhere very different from where you're from. Just like, you feel like you've gone to another planet, just of how different shit is. Like, the pace of life, the language, the food you're eating, the weather. Like, I'd be feeling like New York to Tanzania is like, feels like a different planet. When I went back a few years ago for the first time in 13 years, I was like, wow, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had been, anyways. So, I don't know. A lot of what I just noticed with me, I think a lot of the things like that, they work on a really subconscious level. And then I notice them when I read what I wrote, or like when I'm listening to it, unless I'm pulling from a certain, like I'm doing like an anecdote of something, obviously, then it's more at the forefront, but like, these things are just in the fiber of my being type shit. Like I just like, yeah, subconsciously these places, these energies is really what it is, from these different places. Like I know I just have them like within me, and no matter where I am, they all like kind of conjure, they all kind of like coalesce. I don't know if I used that word right. I think I did. And then like, make their way into what I do. Yeah.
So all of these experiences and events you speak of are very much hidden experiences, hidden energies into this time for you to speak and, manifest that experience into transformation.
Yeah, facts. It's like, it's an energy thing. A lot of times when I'm writing, at this point, like every time, it's like it's something in a room with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's like, people there. Like, there's like, spirits, whatever. Like, I could just like, I'm not dolo. Like I'm alone in my apartment, but like I'm really not, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's how it feels.
Katana hang above my desk, carbon steel, China made, designer behind the specs, single edge, two hands on a tuga under the tuba, Japanese terminology, soku shitsu kazuya, word to the Buddha, we flip through the lotus sutra to learn, operation time travel, the karmic cycle return, observating odds rattle, the arch disciple with words, consecrated signs, baffled, turn on the rifle and burn, long range, Chris Kalshit, minus the lies though, poetic license like black metal Vikings and Oslo.
I wanted to go to university because I was like, yo, I heard there's like mad on some real shit. Like there's just mad girls at university. And I was like, I'm trying to tap in. Like obviously, like I was educated, like, mostly private schools. And like I come from a quote unquote good family. So it would make sense that I would go to school. On some real shit, I wanted a degree too. But it was like I had gone to Canada the summer, like 2 summers before, just to visit, and I saw Montreal like during the summer, which if anyone's ever been to Montreal in the summer, it's fucking lit. And I saw that as music, girls, drugs, and I was like, yo, like I'm pulling up. So I pulled up with the intention of like, by the time I leave here, motherfuckers are going to know like what gay man does is, you know what I mean? And yeah, I learned, you know, at that age, I thought I learned everything because I was young and, you know, I didn't really, well, at least for me when I was young, you know, I was just like, I fucking know everything. I'm a genius. But yeah, what it's like to navigate a scene, the interpersonal dynamics and shit, obviously going to the studio, recording myself, writing all the time, get it, like the game, like the ropes, like I really cut my teeth in Montreal and shit. Then I had to export it back to New York in 2016, and it was kind of like starting from scratch. But I knew how to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, yo, I just did this. I just got to do it again here. And that's what I did. Yeah.
You mentioned you being in your prolific bag at that time. You've already dropped several projects. What would have been the project where you felt like everything started to change for you?
On some real shit, man, the first song I ever fucking dropped, motherfuckers, because the rap scene in Montreal, it's not like New York City. It's not like that many players and shit. At least at the time, now it's different. But in like 2012, it's like I pulled up and dropped this video and it was professional. And the internet was different in 2012. Like the internet was like, it was, you know, yeah, you know what I'm saying. So it's like there was more traffic and people saw it. Like people saw my first shit and people in the city were like, they knew who the fuck I was. Like there's a lot of schools there. It's a very like college atmosphere. Not only that, it's not like Boston, but like, yeah, I got mad love from the first shit I ever dropped. And before that, everybody knew I was a kid that rapped. Like in high school, it was like, yo, like me and you, like in New Rochelle High School, everybody was like, yo, Gabe is like the best rapper in this high school. And my boy Noah and shit. Like, and then before I dropped that video, I was just a kid that would just fucking like put a beat on in the middle of the party and just like monopolize the whole room and start rapping and everybody would go crazy. So it's like I was like creating a buzz for myself just doing shit like that, you know what I'm saying? And so yeah, man, like from the first shit I ever dropped, I had like traction on a level, you know what I'm saying? Like but then, you know, I was on like, you know, peak drug addiction, and I was, you know, like I was focused on rap, but like it's not like I was caught up, you know what I mean? So like I only dropped like two projects, but I was dropping mad singles. I was just on, because it was SoundCloud shit back then, and like I was just dropping mad singles and it was getting mad plays and shit, but I only really dropped two albums. But yeah, it all assisted.
I wanted to talk about collaboration and, you know, this space it occupies within your work. Can you maybe talk about your relationship with collaboration with the world that you're living in? What it is, you know, what it was, the experiences you've had, who you are today in your audience. What was the first song that, you know, you made that awakened something in you, and after that allowed something to be awakened in other people?
Still that first joint, that Sugar Plum shit. I mean, I can't for the life of me listen to that shit now. But like, you know, the way it dropped, I was spitting, you know what I mean? I always been spitting. So there was that. And then the video that came with it, like motherfuckers wanted to work, like off rip, you know? Like people started sending me beats. Like it was just on. I guess as far as me personally, and then that second that OKC shit came out, this fucking label wanted to sign me. I'm not going to name the label, but a major label wanted to sign me after I dropped that shit because the landscape was so different. Like it wasn't saturated. And they hit me with this like fucking deal. I was like, you can take that shit and go fuck yourself, yo. Like, nah, fuck that. You know what I mean? Like they try to hit me with some 360 shit. I was like, man. So, you know, like I was like, yeah, I'm the shit, you know, but it's like, I was just like, yeah, I'm going to blow up soon. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I started feeling the shit. Because the shit that was happening. But do you also mean like the first shit that I dropped that I personally felt internally super proud of? No. Did you mean that?
Yeah. Something that woke you and in turn after that woke everybody else up as well.
Yeah. I think my first project, HD, like, I was like, I just remember finishing that shit and just being like, bro, like if I croak like tomorrow, like I'm not really tripping. You know what I'm saying? Because like that. And first of all, it was my first project, so I was like, dope. And like, it's really like a tribute to traditions and schools and spheres of knowledge that I revere and shit. Like, as far as like, I'm not crazy about the term occult, but you know, I use it because it's like, you know, representative, I guess, but just like theology and just like, you know, like, yeah, like I was just, I don't know. I just, yeah, like I was real proud of that. And even then people were like, all right, Gabe's on some shit. I don't know. Like it was just, you know, cause it's different dropping a bunch of singles and like albums. I love albums so much, or two albums when they're like conceptual. Well, an album doesn't have to be conceptual, but in a way I kind of feel like they sort of end up being that in a certain lane of rap. But this shit was conceptual as fuck and super meaningful to me. And it was like deeper than all my other shit. And it was more cryptic. And obviously I was also at this point, like, I mean, I forgot to mention after Weezy, I wanted to be fucking Doom. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, you know, like I was just like taking pages out of Doom's book for the longest, right? Because I was a kid and Doom was the fucking coolest thing ever, right? So it's like, I was like, I don't know. I just felt like I really left something. Yeah, that was the first thing I was really, 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 really proud of, I think. I guess outside of HT, this one joint that comes to mind is this track called Stray Cats that I wrote about this cat that I found that I ended up like adopting and shit. And I'll just like, I listened to that fucking song and I just remember like writing the verse in my crib in Montreal and it was snowing and I was like drunk and buzzing off of like Adderall. And I just like, I just remember it, you know? So it's like, yeah. It's just crazy. It's like a time capsule.
Pick a side, don't spot switch. Word is born. So when I say it, I'm like a locksmith. War breaking out, been simmering in the pot lit. Got a problem with motherfuckers who love to pop shit. No sweat, you figure this home stretch. You ain't see the two jack boys pushing the chrome Lex. Shadows in the back, boy, making your dome sweat. Come together like alloys, taking your Rolex. D's in an unmarked vehicle, sipping coffee. Scenes from an all-night miracle where they lost me. It seems to me my protection has been divine. Like it's been on my side ever since I was just a child. Like, lose the love of my life if I had to. Only thing that's left is a thought and a tattoo. Terracotta spears, tear apart the ears. Inside the sauna position in the sauna, sweat and tears go. Steven on the Saraswati with the movements. Yamamoto Tsunetomo with the tutelage.
I'm proud, you know? I'm just like proud of myself. I'm just like, that's dope as fuck, bro. Like you evolved. Like you keep evolving. And it's like you got better. You got better because you got better as a person, like, and right. That's what it is, really. Like, that's what it boils down to. It's like, yeah, I'm just like, yeah, like, I just, yeah, no, it's hard to even put words to it because it's some deep shit. Like, and I listen to my shit a lot, like, a lot. I listen to my music all the fucking time because I'm tapped the fuck into like me, you know what I mean? So it's like, I be knocking my shit a lot. And it's like, you know, not necessarily the old shit, but whatever. Like I hop back and forth sometimes and it just like, it's so empowering, man. It's just like almost intoxicating, actually. Man.
Do you have any practices that help you tap into a particular vision as an artist when you're listening to an instrumental for the first time?
Yeah, like I definitely listen to it a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like I definitely... Sometimes actually, you know what? It's like shit crazy. Cause you know, there's a loose kind of blueprint, but Sometimes every song is different. Sometimes every song is different. That doesn't make sense. But like the process, like I just keep an open heart. You know what I'm saying? And I kind of just like, I just listen to my like heart, my mind, my body, and like it just tells me what to do. Like, and it's not really too much thinking involved. Like, obviously, when I'm writing, I'm thinking about the shit I'm saying. But it's like, yo, it's just like instinct. It's like, you know, it's like I get into a trance. That's what I try to do sometimes. I'll just take the beat, I'll go outside, just listen to the beat, and just like jump rope for like 40 minutes in shadow box with the beat playing, just walk around New York City with the beat playing. That, and that's writing to me. That's like I'm already writing the song. Sometimes I'll play the beat and the shit will just write itself, you know, like automatically, you know what I mean? So it's like it varies.
Do you have a favorite part of the process at all?
Yeah, the writing part. I would just say the part where I'm like felt tip, pen, notebook, sitting down, just writing that shit, and like maybe every four bars just being like, you know what I'm saying? Just being like just being gassed, like just being so happy. I'm just like so fucking, I'm just, it's like bliss. I was just writing, like I'm writing this shit. I mean, I write pretty much every day, but like I'm working on some shit right now. And it's like, man, like I am so fucking blessed because I just have this thing that no one can take from me. And like, I can just like post up anywhere, dolo, and just be cool. Like some of this shit, it's like, sometimes it's like, not sometimes, all the time at this point, obviously I'm gonna put this shit out, but just the fact that I wrote it and I'm like rapping it to myself and I'm just like enjoying hearing myself rap, I'm like, yo, I'm really like in love with this shit. And like, I'm just happy. Like, I don't know, like it just feels good to create. Yeah.
The way you write these bars, as if your life depends on every single one.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's like, okay, the best is like subjective, obviously, but it's like, I feel like I'm the best. I've always felt like I was the best. I felt like I was the best even before it was like my business to feel that way. You know what I'm saying? Like irrationally, like I'm just like that. But that being said, it's not like a feeling where it's like, I'm better than you. It's just like, that's just how I feel. And it's not just music. I just feel like that. Like I'm confident, maybe sometimes overconfident, more often than not, but I have been overconfident and, you know, put L's and shit, obviously. But
like, the confidence comes from you being able to compete with yourself and outdo yourself every single time, isn't it? That's where it comes from.
That's exactly what it is. Like, I'm always pushing myself to just be like, yo, like you got to be nice. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be fucking dead nice, bro. You got to come through on some like, yo, what the fuck did he just say? Did you hear what the fuck he just said? Because otherwise, I don't want to, like, if I don't feel like that, like, why would I put it out? You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, I'm like, I'm just like, I just want to, like, you know. Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's talk about your journey going into this forthcoming project, which to me, it feels like an accumulation of everything you've experienced and everything you've worked for towards, you know, this moment. What was the inspiration that led you to writing and recording Object Permanence, and where does this sit within your back catalog?
That's dope to hear, man. I was working on HT. My shit with Argov, and during the process, I linked up with Wino Willie. Shout out to Wino Willie, super good dude. Can't thank him enough for lacing me with fucking just incredible production on this record.
Incredible,
yeah, like really, really high level shit. And what's it called? Yeah, man, he just blessed me with shit. He just started sending me beats, and I was like in a fucking bag because I was just like, I was going through so much shit. It was OD, you know, like I was so much like internal strife and shit. And I was just writing both projects. And dude, like the majority of the shit really just like, it's one of those things. If I go back to the rhyme in my book, like nothing is like scratched out. Like it's just like complete. Like it was just wrote itself. You know, there was like very little editing. I just had so much shit to get off my chest. And Like I kind of got to a point where we had these joints, and yeah, we were maybe gonna make, we were just going with the flow, and like I was like, you know what, let's, yeah, like it's done kind of thing, where I had like these tracks, I had like two anyways, and yeah, we were just like, yeah, let's put it out, and yeah. He's a great producer because like he sent me shit. Like he just knew what to send me. Like the first shit he sent me, which is the Uchi Gitana joint, like the first song on the record. He's like, yo, I made this like for you. I don't usually make beats like this. Like he just like he just knew. Like we just he just understood me sonically. And that shit mean a lot to me actually, because like he really cared and he really was like showed he was just down as fuck. And I just appreciate people that are like that so much. And the thing about that is when you're just in a personal relationship with the person is money, like I'm a firm believer that the art is gonna be better. You know, like it's like when there's just like love and shit, like, and it's like we was just making fucking music, and it was just like, oh, let's make some music. That's it. Like, let's make music is the fucking like is just the this like is like the target, and it just everything else will figure itself out. And we was just on the same page, and he was just sending me mad shit. He was just sending me mad shit. Like, he sent me like he was sending me like four beats in a fucking day, like via iMessage. And
Wow.
I was like, yo, you're going in. And he's like, when I lock in, I lock in. I was like, this dude is the shit. I fuck with this guy heavy. Shout out to him, bro.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Knowing how hands-on you are with these soundscapes you choose to rhyme on, were you in any way vocal during the production process in terms of were you sharing any references, for example, or suggesting any samples, or is it just on Willie to send you what he's sending you every day?
Yeah, no, I let him do his thing because it was just working, you know. Like he sent me shit, I was like, yes, you know. Like the only thing I did, like, I don't know. Yeah, I just messed with the arrangement on one song, but like, you know, just some quick shit, and like
Little
a
tweaks.
vocal. Yeah, like you know, like I wouldn't say I produced on it as much as some projects I have. You know, some projects I would say I straight up. Yeah, like I produced a lot of the shit in terms of like not necessarily like programming the fucking beat, but producing, like arranging, composing, suggesting. Like there was not, like I wouldn't say there was like very minimal of that on this shit. It was just easy, man. Like it was just like the thing is, I hit a new level in this like era of like HT. Object Permanence and some of this other work that's not out that I was also writing at the same time. Like the shit that had happened to me in my life that was really hard to deal with had elevated my fucking artistry, like almost like instantaneously in the span of like one writing session. I was like, wait a second, like I just got way better at this shit. You know what I mean? Because I was just tapped into my soul more, you feel me? So like, yeah, I always remember Object Permanence and HT as this time in my life where I clearly leveled the fuck up in terms of rapping. You know what I'm saying? Like I could feel it. Like the writing was faster, the thoughts were clear. It's just ill. It's just ill. In any vocation, in any practice, watching yourself get better, some shit is just the fucking, oh man, it's the best shit ever. Yeah.
Would you go as far to say that the pain was propelling your practice?
100%, 100%. I mean, the HT thing. Like, if it wasn't, yeah, like Heartbreak, like inspired that entire record. Even if, like, you know, most of the songs aren't necessarily directly about that, but it's just the energy of this shit I went through, with
Right.
the shorty that just like propelled me, because it's like I needed to write more than ever, because I was like, it was just hectic, you know.
were there any other experiences that you can speak of and share that might have contributed to clarity and shaped the making of any of these songs specifically?
Well, I'm always pulling from the past and like old, like, I guess, you know, like who isn't, right? Like we have this, you know, I don't know, like shit, you know, but obviously as a writer, yeah, anyways. Yeah, I mean, there was that at the forefront. And yeah, there's always like all the shit I went through in the past. And I, you know, I've had a colorful life experience, to say the least. So there's no shortage of shit to pull from. And I heard Rock Marcy say this once. He's like, I'm surprised at how many times I could flip the same like situation. Like the one event, there's like fucking 50 ways to talk about it, you know, without the audience knowing, you know, exactly what's being referenced to. Like, there's a lot of like, there are themes in my music, obviously, you know, conflict, you know, and like violence and shit like that. Like, and yeah, I'm just pulling. I heard Death Grip say this too once, you know, like they were like, most of our inspiration comes from like negative place, but ultimately it's like positive because we get to transform it. And right. I mean, I wouldn't say necessarily that's the exact same thing for me, but yeah, a lot of the shit I go to is negative or hard things that I believe I'm sorting through when I'm writing, you know, and I like reliving them. And like, or and also heard Amy Winehouse say this shit where it's like an exorcism. Writing is like an exorcism. So it's like, that's kind of what it is.
Told me to slow it down or he see me next. Robitussin, I'm reading up at the CVS. Slow combustion, I'm heating up off the simmer mode. In position, no intermission, my dinner code. Yo, 1993 dynasty on my lion's beat. Ducking sirens off psilocybin and moving silently. I don't try to be, cause I gotta be choosing piously. Using piracy to the privately, through the hierarchy, you know. Black flags on a mask that we cast up. Mad blessings in my lab, just a fraction of bad luck. Transgressions in the past turn to habits that add up. A man's essence is the task. The axe keep the grass cut, yo. Shouldn't keep your stash in the Acura unless you selling that. In the half an hour, be on time, you should tell him that. I just showed up late to the party, arriving fashionably. If I love my wish, then I'd give him more than a half of me. If you go to war, don't project that you'll be a casualty.
There's a couple of moments where you make references to events in the past and Afrofuturism. Those moments kind of sort of punctuate a deeper context behind some of these bars. What is it about time and your intentions of breaking it that works for you as a writer?
Well, I think about death like every single day, but not on some like sad shit, just on some like, I just feel I don't know if, how other people think, but I'm cognizant of the clock ticking. Like every fucking minute, you know what I mean? Like it's always there. Like it's always buzzing kind of thing, but it's not, you know, it's just like, it's like a motivating thing. I mean, obviously if one isn't careful, it could be like a stress thing. And, you know, like if I have too much espresso, maybe that's how I'll feel, but otherwise it's like positive. So like, yeah, I mean, time just like, in a writerly tradition, obviously one of the great themes I would say to explore and simmer on. And my experiences with time and this and alternate states have been insightful, and things I've learned about time and other dimensions and like how it's not always linear. I mean, we feel like it's linear when we're, you know, in this dimension and stuff, but I don't know. I've been to other ones where I've like felt different and experienced it differently and stuff. So like, it's taken me to a place where like, I don't know, time is kind of like my friend, and I'm not really like I said, like thinking about passing away from this like dimension a lot in a positive way. And I don't know, I got to a spot where like, I don't even know if I believe in like death and birth in like a traditional sense anymore, you know what I'm saying, in terms of like this is where this starts and this is where this ends kind of thing. Yeah.
Do you ever think about your legacy?
Yeah, every day. Every day, yeah. Every day. And that's the thing. I'm like, I think big. So it's like, yeah, that's why I think about it so much still, because there's so much it's not even want, man. It's need. And it's like, there's specifically one thing that I'm like, if I don't do this one thing, I'm not going to say what it is because like I'm going to do it one day, but like it's just one thing I got to do before I check out. And I think people say this though, like, you know, boxers will like be like, once I get the belt, my life is complete. Then they get the belt and they're like, my life is over because I don't know what else is life, right? And like then they fuck around and
Right.
get knocked out and lose the belt and they ask out. But like it don't feel like that. It's just like I feel like maybe th not maybe things will change after that. Because there's a lot of legwork I got to do before I complete the most important task. But yeah, man, I think about this shit all the time. That's all I think about. Like I'm literally obsessed with this thing we're talking about. There's not a single wake. It feels like there's not a single waking moment when I'm not thinking about this shit, man. Seriously, like it's just like it's just always there, you know.
Well, what's so fascinating about this conversation is the fact that you operate from a lens that your best work is always going to be ahead of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Fuck yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Fuck yeah. Or else, yeah, absolutely. 100%. It's always got, yes. Yeah, definitely.
Is there a sun on object permanence that's closest to a snapshot of where your life is right now?
Yeah, I would say the first one, Ushigatana, because I'm just floating. It's calm, you know what I'm saying? Like it's just like I feel it's calm, but it's like not just like calm on some like chill shit. It's just like, you know, just like sage, like just calm, floaty wisdom, just tranquil, but at the same time, just like a subdued, not subdued, but just like simmering kind of like aggression, which is where I want to keep that, because I always kind of, I just have that. Like I like we know when I was a kid, I was just like in a heavy music because of, you know, how I felt about shit. So it's just in my personality. I have a fiery personality. I'm chill as fuck. I mean, you know, but like, and then shit I've been through. So I mean, because I li this the reason I say that is because I listen to my music and I'm like, damn, you know what I'm saying? Like it just be like, you know, it's just a lot of like aggression and like, you know, I love it, but I'm just saying like Uchigatana is a dope track because it's just like I don't know, it's calm and I'm just like I'm becoming, and I think this is just with age, you know, like I'm just becoming, I've always been calm, but like I don't know, I'm rambling again, but like it's just, you know, I'm like I'm feeling pretty at peace lately. Even and the reason I say that is because, you know, life is hard and shit. And but when shit happens, like the way I'm dealing with stress or whatever, anything that's hard, the way I'm dealing with hardship, I'm proud of myself because I'm just like, oh, you're doing good, man. You're not tripping too hard. So that song is me not tripping too hard. Not like my other songs are me tripping, but that song is just surfing, like, yeah.
What kind of role do you think Muay Thai plays in you creating art in terms of you being as disciplined as you are?
Yeah, martial arts. First martial art I did was jujitsu, not jujitsu, the Japanese. It's like judo, basically. I did that in high school a little bit, and I peeped game on how like just the tenets of martial arts were, you know, generally speaking, respect and discipline, shit like that. Like my parents just really did a good job. I was already like that, but obviously forced it so much. And yeah, the discipline of doing, I think like it was dope about martial arts is like if you really like a go-getter and an entrepreneur or whatever the fuck, like you fucking tap into martial arts, any sport I guess, but I think I would say specifically martial arts, like it just puts your game on another level because you're already down that road. But like I said before, seeing yourself get better at something is ill. And like man, I love striking, you know what I mean? I just like I love hitting fucking pads with my shins and just like I'm addicted to that shit. And it helps with so much, man. I actually haven't gone to a class in the longest in like yeah, it's been a minute since I haven't gone to class for this long, but I just been so, it's been hard, you know, because I got a job, I got two jobs, you know, this music shit, and my fucking, you know, I work at a bank and shit, so I got that going on, and I just, like, my schedule hectic, and sometimes it's been kind of hard to go, but, you know, yeah, like, you know, like I said, I was already confident even before I had business being confident about shit when I was, like, just a little pup and shit, but, like, the Muay Thai shit, yeah, shit just complete me. I always, even though I haven't been to class, like, I'm always training. Like, I'm always doing cardio and, like, shadow boxing and, like, hitting the bag and shit. So martial arts is just, Muay Thai specifically, you know, definitely Muay Thai specifically is, like, and it's like, you know, like, it's a beautiful art because there's that, for lack of a better word, because I'm not too crazy about the word spiritual. I'm not mad at it, but whatever. Like, there's, like, the soulful spiritual dimension where, like, Buddhism is very entrenched in it, and, like, they pay respects to their teachers, their elders, to spirits, and they dance and shit, like, before they fight. And it's just, like, it just makes sense. It just fits. The first time I ever trained, I've been wanting to train Muay Thai for years before I ever trained. And, like, the first class I went to, I was, like, my life changed. You know what I mean? Like something that was missing was activated.
Talk about the science and significance behind the title Object Permanence for anybody who might not know.
I decided to call it that because one of the beats that we didn't use for the record was called that. And he sent me this fucking beat. And I was just like,
huh,
what the fuck? This shit sound cool as fuck. You know, and I Googled it and I was like, I mean, in psychology, I mean, I might butcher this, but I, you know, like, it's basically the realization or the understanding that just because a thing isn't, like, present in the room with you or in your line of sight,
yeah,
realizing that it still exists though and it's somewhere else. Like, oh, like, for children, there's the example that I saw them use the most, like, oh, like, dad's not home, but, like, dad's still around. You know what I mean? Like, he's just not in this room right now, he's just, like, elsewhere. And I was like, bruh, like, because I was like, yeah, like, a child has to learn that at some point. Like, just like an animal has to, like, I remember, like, I was talking about my cat earlier, like, I got him, he was mad small, and, like, I remember just, like, raising him and shit and seeing him go through similar shit, not necessarily, like, now that I think about it, kind of that, you know what I'm saying? Like, me going somewhere else and him tripping because he doesn't understand where I am, or, like, you know, little shit, like, with that, as the brain develops. And I was like, bro, that's so ill. Like, this is just, like, and it just rolls off the tongue perfect. It's just, like, it's just deep. And it's, like, when you really think about how the brain, like, consciousness unravels and how there's levels to consciousness and how, like, yo, like, if you have to learn that, what are all the other, like, layers that, like, you may not even be, you know what I'm saying? Like, that we may not know of, like, you know, other places. Like, when I say other places, I'm mainly talking about, like, experiences that I had with psychedelics and stuff. Like, obviously, you know, I used to do a bunch of, like, other shit too. But yeah, like, for example, like, I went to Mexico for HT. I mean, this has been spoken about, but, like, I did peyote. Those kind of, I don't, to me, they're not, it's like, peyote is not a drug. It's like medicine, and it's like through experiences like that and through just thinking about shit like object permanence and stuff, it's just like there are so many vibrations out there and, like, layers to our fucking brains and just the way we perceive shit. And I ultimately, it's an ode to that. It's just like to the possibilities of the mind. And also, we spoke about legacy before. I'm like, yeah, my shit finna be permanent. Like, when I'm gone, like, this shit is finna be here. I don't know what's gonna happen to the planet, but, like, yeah, this is what the fuck it is. Like, you know, like, I'm here, basically.
What kind of conversations do you want this album to evoke, you know, with the artistic and personal transformation featured on it?
When I, like, think about what I'm writing and what I'm putting out, I'm always just, like, so dialed into how I feel that, like, because the thing is, I know it's high level shit. So I know that, like, that's that, right? Like, in terms of how people are processing what I put out, I'm almost like, the beauty of it is, like, I'm sure, I know, like, three people listening to the same song could have different experience with it. That's why ultimately I'm always kind of, I don't really like that. It doesn't cross my mind too much. The only thing that does cross my mind is me flexing, to be honest, like, just to make sure, like, I'm coming right with the bars, and that's it. In terms of the experience, I feel like I'm so, it's a part of me that's in this, like, soundbite that is so focused with my energy that I'm almost like, I feel like ultimately I can direct a person's mind when they listen to my shit. I'm like, this is how this is going to make you fucking feel, like, on a level, right? So because that's how I feel, I guess I don't know it with my mind. I'm just like, God damn, I don't know if that makes sense, but, like, it's kind of like on some shaman shit, you know what I'm saying? On some, like, this shit is going to make you think, this shit is going to make you this, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, you know, ultimately, I don't know what I want people to, like. It's just like, I just know, like, I'm supposed to do this, right? So it's like, whenever it comes out, I'm just like, yo, whatever needs to happen is gonna happen, and I'll just take it as it comes, kind of thing.
Black sunny roads, cash money hoes, gas money pass, fast money trash, money clothes, rap money, NASDAQ money, tax money grow, bad bunnies, fat ass honey, stash money go. Black monkey flow, stack money rolls, hash money, brown bag money, crack money, stove craps money in the back, money clap money, pros craft money, make you laugh funny, cash money cold. You gotta get you a grip, spin a lottery ticket, too many pockets to fit. 5 o'clock in the morning and somebody's on my six. It's 12 o'clock right in front of me on the block with my kicks. I'm never shocked at the way that these people shake the shit. To shift your shape like a weasel, is this the fate of a king? Yo, shorty, show me a reason to change the way that I act. I don't want no love from you, let me just keep it a stack. That's a fact, so they feel like the Iliad when I build. I don't deal with idiots, cause them idiots get you killed. I deal with the spirits, they deal the lyrics, it's in my will.
What about the future? Knowing how prolific you are as a writer, have you had the chance to think about any projects beyond this EP? Are you working on anything else right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always writing, you know, like, whether it's, like, on a project. Like, I just pulled up this old Cassidy beat last night and I just wrote bars to it just because I like the beat kind of shit, you know? And I'll just have it in my book just because, like, I want to be dead nice at rapping, you know what I mean? Like, I have to, like, even if it's two fucking lines, like, I try to write every single day, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, sometimes I don't, like, today, but, like, more often than not, I am. But one top secret project, I'm working with I'm working on a record with my boy Louis Jack from the UK. We're gonna do a record.
Very dope.
Yeah, and then I have another record done. It's just kind of chilling. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. and then I just have, like, shit I'm working on with producers. Well, we don't really, you know what I'm saying? I'm just making shit with people. But the Louis Jack shit, definitely, you know what I'm saying? That's, like, something I want to drop sooner than later. And then the other top secret project, I mean, that's, like, I'm really hype on that. Not sure what it's either going to come this year or next year. It might be next year, honestly. So, but yeah, like, I'm, like, doing those two. And then, like, yeah, there's just some producers that send me packs. And I just write and kind of just see what happens, you know? Like, yeah. Yeah.
I ain't trying to rob the train, dog, or the Porsche, though. In a Honda Civic with immigrants speaking Morse code. I'm the type of nigga that's diligent to a fault, though. Dealing with these innocent children dressed in adult clothes. Forgive them, father, they have no idea, not a clue. It's me and you, your followers, they ain't coming through. Boo, he seen a ghost in every room. When I retaliate, what the fuck is you?
I wish I could show my appreciation for this podcast. I wish I could respond to it somehow or be notified in the future when
Fly Fidelity
updates, because it's so great. But I don't think there's a way I can do any of those things.
Uh-oh. You're wrong.
Subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and SoundCloud, and never miss an episode. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
My people, are you with me where you at?